Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S. and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Today is June the 5th, Thursday. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 101, paragraph 4, starting with, you will note that we made an ending, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And now I will ask Michelle S. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Michelle J. from Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me serve.
Thank you. And I will ask Herbert F. to read the 12 traditions of OA, please.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Herbert F. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from New Mexico, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of tests, radio, film, television, and other public media of communications. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before our personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
And thanks, Herbert. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we read the Moss study of the Big Book on page 101, paragraph 4. And now I will ask Sherry D. to read. Sherry D.
Good morning. Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much. Sherry D., compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here this morning. So very grateful to be here. So you will note that we made an important qualification. Therefore, ask yourself on each occasion, have I any good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? Or am I expecting to feel a little vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere of such places? If you answer these questions satisfactorily, you need have no apprehension. Go or stay away, whichever seems best. But be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start, and that your motive in going is thoroughly good. Do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. But if you are shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. So I love these paragraphs that give me good, orderly direction. It's telling me, ask myself, do I have a good reason for actually being there, or am I trying to find some type of buzz from the atmosphere? And it says, if you answer honestly and confidently, I tell you, I came to this program a liar, cheat, and a thief. I don't always know the best way to be honest. I have a God squad. I have a sponsor that I speak to on a regular basis when I'm, you know, feeling questionable or wanting to have some better insight. So I have people that I talk to. The decision to go or stay should be based on sound spiritual footing. Where, for me, this is just all my experience, strength, and hope. This is the 12th step. We are in working with others. So the 12th step is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. I have worked these steps. Now, I will tell you, I have an amazing sponsor that gave me great homework as I was going through the steps. When we were at the third step, my homework assignment was to memorize the third step prayer and say it every morning. When we were at the seventh step, one of my homework assignments was to memorize the seventh step prayer and say it every morning. I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. How did I start my day today? I said the third step prayer. I said the seventh step prayer. I made my bed because of someone telling me that I was supposed to do that every morning. And I said, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And they said, how willing are you? I am willing today to go to any lengths. So I start my day off third step prayer, seventh step prayer, make my bed, prayer and meditation with my higher power. Hit a meeting. It's 7:09 a.m., and I've already done all of those things. I'm in my meeting. When I do these things, I have my armor on, and I can walk through the day with my hand in the hand of my higher power. And when that is happening, I am free. I am at peace I have chosen calm over chaos. And that's why I keep coming to these meetings, and I look forward to hearing everybody share. Thank you so much for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thanks so much for getting us started, Cherry D. Before we take names, I forgot to give Wednesday's June the 4th share ID for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. It's 22,495. That's 22,495. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 22,496, 22,496. Okay, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may have the opportunity to share their experience also. Okay, and we'll get started. And if you'd like to share, please give me your first name and last initial.
Janet B.
Lori G.
Michelle C.
Anayeta R.
Gail H.
Is that Gail?
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have Janet B. Is that Laura G?
Lori G.
Lori G. Okay. Thank you. And Rochelle
C. Anayeta
R. And Gail H. You can still take a couple more.
Michelle C.
Melanie P.
Michelle C. And who P?
Melanie.
Melanie?
Yes, Melanie.
Okay. Anybody else? We can take another one or so. If not, we can get started. I have Janet B., Lori G., Rochelle C., Honeyetta R., Gail H., Michelle C., and Melanie P. Okay. Janet B., would you like to unmute and share?
Hey, good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So it says, be sure you're on solid spiritual ground. So I was just thinking this morning about, I was like 6 years into Overeaters Anonymous. I couldn't stop binging. And I remember walking, I was in New York City at the time working. And when I got off my subway stop for work, I could not make it to my office without stopping on the bakery on the way. I couldn't do it. Well, I guess I was on unspiritual ground. And like, what does that even mean? Was the ground by the bakery not spiritual? No, of course, it doesn't mean the actual ground that we're working on. It means the ground of my heart. And I just turned back to Bill's story. When Ebby went to see Bill, he said, when Bill was looking at him, he said, Ebby, he was on a different footing. His roots grasped a new soil. So it's me, it's my soul that has to be on spiritual ground, get on spiritual ground from unspiritual ground. Well, I didn't think I was spiritual. I always believed in God. Didn't that make me spiritual? No, right? In our book, it talks about a guy who prayed to God every day on hangover mornings, but still got drunk, just like me. Prayed to God every day, but by 9 o'clock, by the time I got to work, I had already binged. And so what's the solution? How does our soul get from unspiritual ground to spiritual ground? Well, right before it talks about how Ebby's roots grasped a new soil, Bill talks about it. He said, my ideas about miracles were drastically revised. There was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. Only God could come in and change the soil of my soul from unspiritual, meaning living in self-will, to a life that was spiritual. And to me, all that means to be spiritual means that I've surrendered to God, that I no longer wake up and think, what do I want to do? It's like, Father, what would you have me do? And go through my day trying to help others, trying to stay connected to God. And when I do that, God changes the soil of my soul so that it's a kind of a spiritual ground, which means I don't need to stop at the bakery on the way to work. I don't need to stop at the candy aisle in my grocery store. I can go anywhere as long as I'm committed to God, as long as I try to do his will and help others. And then he keeps me safe and protected in that position of neutrality. And it really works. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Janet. Now we have Lori G. followed by Rochelle C. Lori, would you like to unmute and share?
Yeah, thank you so much for your service. Good morning, and this is Lori G. in Colorado. What I kind of saw in this paragraph was when I have a special thing to go to, whether it's like a baby shower or a Christmas party or getting together with people, you know, whatever the occasion is, am I going because I'm going to get a certain type of food or a certain thrill, whatever, that that I used to get? Or am I willing, those are not my dogs, or am I willing to go and take my own food with me? Or do I eat ahead of time? You know, what am I willing to do if I even should be there in the first place, which, you know, assuming I have cleared it with my higher power and or my sponsor, then am I willing to take the fun out of it, the what used to be the fun, the going for the chocolate or, you know, whatever. Usually it was for chocolate. And now sometimes I will, like if I'm going to a restaurant, I'll call ahead and find out what they serve and can I eat there. I have even been known to bring my own food into the restaurant and eat it. I will ask them if that's okay. And I think I've done it twice, and both times they were like, yeah, no big deal. And I've brought my food to other people's houses, and I have eaten ahead of time and then just had like a bottle of water. So yeah, different things, but God always gives me an idea. And most of the time, other people could care less what I'm having. So, yeah, I just, that's what came to mind for me was go for the occasion, go for the reason of celebrating or whatever it is, not because of the food. And so far, every time God has blessed it, and I go, one of my sponsors would tell me to go and with the idea of being service to others, and that really helps. Like I can go and I can help clean up, or I can help set up, or there's so many different ways to be of service. So anyway, with that, I'm very grateful for all of you and for this meeting, and I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Lori G. And could you tell us where you're calling from, please?
Colorado.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rochelle C. Do we have a Rochelle C? Or is that Michelle C?
I think it's Michelle C.
Okay. Go ahead, Michelle. And where
Hi,
are you calling
this is
from?
Michelle. This is Michelle C. from Missouri.
Thank you.
You know, I got started in program in 2020, like 6 days before Christmas. And so I knew I was going to be going to a family event where there was going to be a lot of food. And at that time, you know, I had just gotten started and I thought, how can I ever like go to these events and not partake? I couldn't imagine a life like that. And I called a fellow who was recovered, and she said, you know, I promise you, you follow these steps, it's not going to be about the food anymore. It's going to be about the people. And I remembered kind of like rolling my eyes, like, okay, like whatever. And then she kind of walked me through like, you know, instead of thinking about like, what are you not going to get to do? What can you do? You can help with the dishes. You can play with a niece or a nephew. You can be of service in some kind of way. So instead of going to this event with thinking about, I can't have that, can't partake in that, I was like laser focused on what can I do for someone else, and it made the experience completely different. I also remember It was like one of my first social outings where I was a little nervous to be out and have these people see my new way of living. I'm a teacher, and I was meeting up with other teacher friends that were retired. And in the past, it had all been about the food and the drink and the gossiping. But I really did like love these women. So I remember calling my sponsor and being like, I need a plan. Like, how do I do this? And she said, you know, remember, you're going to be of service. You're not going to see what you can get from this. You're going to give something. So once again, she reminded me, okay. So I prayed before I went in, like, help me just see how I can be of service. Help me know how to navigate any situations. Like I had a plan for if gossip started, I knew I was going to maybe leave the room or change the subject or show a picture of my kid on my phone. And I knew I could just always leave if I needed to leave. And so I went in kind of nervous about all of that, and it was beautiful. No one was pressuring me to eat or drink anything. There was a little bit of gossip that I just did not partake in. And I remember, just leaving feeling so good that I brought positive conversation instead of, you know, trying to connect in a negative way. And so, yeah, it's just a completely different way of living, like seeing what I can give rather than what can I get, and looking for those moments of service and staying close to God so he can guide me and show me where those are. And I'm just grateful that I get to share this morning, and with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Michelle. And we have Honietta R. followed by Gail H. Would you like to unmute and share, Honietta?
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I can't remember who the leader is, but thank you for your service. My name is Honietta R. from Texas, Plano, Texas, outside Dallas. I am a recovered compulsive overeater and grateful to be here today. I have been away for a few days, and I just miss you guys so much. I really like where it says, be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start an outing. And do not think what you can get out of the occasion. Think what you can bring to it, like so many people have already said beautifully. And a lot of times I will bring to the occasion is that if I know I'm going someplace, and I will bring a nice big salad that I know I can have, and just in case there isn't, or if I don't think, if I know they're having salads, then I'll bring like a cooked vegetable that I know that I can have, so that I know that, because a lot of people just don't have enough vegetables, and they have everything else I need, but they don't usually have that. So I try to make sure that I have what I need. That's the nuts and bolts. But what I do, though, before I go, like everybody has already said, is that I do try to pray before I go. And a lot of times I just don't even think about it anymore because I go out so much. Not as much as I used to, but I still do go to people's homes a lot for different occasions and meals. And this past, don't even know what today is, Tuesday, I was at the synagogue, and there was a luncheon kind of thing. And I brought a salad, and I started feeling very uncomfortable. There were a lot of things going on that I didn't like. There were some very rude people around, and you know, instead of staying for the luncheon, I made the salad that I was going to bring. I put it together. I put it on the table, and I looked at all the beautiful sweets that people had made and thought how beautiful they were. They were just direct decorations on the table, and I left. I left, and I felt so good about that. I didn't have to stay in an uncomfortable situation where I would have maybe possibly been tempted even to eat something I shouldn't have eaten because I felt so out of place. And I just couldn't believe that that just happened. I mean, it just happened, and here we are reading about this. And that doesn't ever surprise me. Thank you. That doesn't ever surprise me. My life is like that all the time. I start to feel way, and then God just puts it in front of me that I read about it. So thank you again for letting me share. Thank you, everybody on the meeting. I love you guys, and be well. I pass.
Thanks, honey. Adar from Texas. And next we have Gail H., followed by Melanie P.
Good morning. I'm Gail H. from Seattle, Washington. And thank you all for this morning and the shares. In some ways, I can relate. God has given me the grace to be in this program for decades. And the place I can share with, there have been different seasons in different decades and different kinds of things that I've needed with spiritual grounding. But it's all been a process to be applied in each of these seasons. And now the place to go is to be at home all the time for the first time in my life. I need it with so much anxiety and the wanting and the ability to do a lot of things for my ongoing recovery. But 2 years ago, my husband of 50 years died, and then I had a major medical event followed by two or three more. And in the past 2 years, my overall health has declined, but my spiritual walk has increased. And I never have been able to be at home in peace. In my journey, it required doing a lot of things in my recovery and having a lot of anxiety, which getting to meetings every day was a way that it was the pain necessary that helped me to be at a 6 a.m. meeting every day. And thank you, God, here we are at a 4 a.m. meeting, and that's when I got up, was 4 a.m. And here is Vision helping me to learn how to be in this state at this time in this way with a tremendous amount of humble kind of difficulty and confusion and, all the things that my husband who died was going through. In some ways, I feel like God has prepared me for those things. And, oh, by the way, there are things that I got impatient with him. And now I get to live them, and I mean humbly, a day at a time. And given that it's hard for me to know if I can walk each day without losing my balance, God gives me the direction that I humbly need to take so I don't fall again. So it's very interesting to me.
Gentle reminder.
The process that you all have taught me and the importance of that daily routine and how to do it. And thank you for the reminder. And I will pass.
Thanks, Gail H. from Washington. And then we have Melanie P., and then we'll take a second set of names. Melanie?
Hi, my name is Melanie P. from Montreal, Canada. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. What this paragraph told me this morning is, what is my purpose in all my affairs, not only when I'm going to a venue or in with my family, but I'm struggling a lot to have my own design, my own power, what I can get when I'm going to work. And that struck me today. Fulfill only my needs or being there for others and play the role that this higher power has for me. And that's why I'm struggling. not in the food, in my head, because I want to be the boss. So this morning, I'm just listening to that, and yeah, what are you doing? What's your purpose? Didn't you let your life in my hand, mean God? And how do I know that I'm doing it in God's will? It's when I feel peace inside, I feel serenity, and I know deep down that's what I have to do. I feel serene. So that's my ideal, and I should have this attitude and this way of thinking every day. What can I bring to my work, with my colleagues, with my husband, with my family, instead of trying to get something to fulfill this emptiness I have inside? That's what I want to share with you guys, and thank you for all the service you do to keep this meeting alive.
Thanks, Melanie P. from Montreal, Canada. And before we take our second list of names, we're going to break for a special announcement. I think Amy G. is going to make that.
Hey, Tina? Yes, I do have a special announcement. Speaking of going certain places, there is no question where you should be on November 7th through the 9th this year, 2025. That's right, folks, the power of the Big Book, your weekend of inspiration, education, motivation, and fellowship. This is the opportunity to learn how the 12 steps can free you from the bondage of compulsive overeating. Talk about a good reason for going. Talk about a life-saving reason. Talk about a life-transforming reason. We want you there. Be there. Where? Merrick, the Marriott Newark International Airport Hotel in Newark, New Jersey. How to register? www.avisionforyou.info. Online, that's www.avision4you.info. And there you look at the countdown, the exciting countdown. It's coming before you know it. So register now. There's no question about going and every reason to be there. We want you there. Hope to see you.
Thanks, Amy. Now we'll take a second list. Give me your first name and last initial. You'd like to share?
Vasa O.
Lisa H.
Roz G.
Vasa, Lisa. Roz.
Nancy G.
I'm sorry? Nancy, was that Nancy?
Yep, Roz. Nancy P.
Okay.
Susan A. from Delaware.
Susan A. Take another name or two. Okay, we can start with that, and then if we have time,
Robin,
we'll take some more.
Robin P.
I got you, Robin. Thanks.
Thank you.
Got Vasa O, followed by Lisa H. Vasa, share with us.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service and for everybody's shares, and I identify so much. It seems like I cannot add any more than anybody else has added, said things over there. For myself, I'm Vasa, grateful to recover compulsive avoider, and I'm calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And for me, nothing happened until I was ready and willing to surrender to a power greater than myself, which I didn't even know what that power was, but I was ready and willing to surrender. I didn't want to die from this debilitating disease, which I didn't even know it was a disease. I learned my sponsor 12-step before I went to my first meeting for Overeaters Anonymous. And I was just ready. I was just so ready and willing. You know, this was my last stop. I said, if this doesn't work, and I'm just going to die. So walking through, you know, through the door to Overeaters Anonymous was the key for me. And I was so relieved to finally find out there was a name for it. They called it eating disorder, overeating, undereating, bulimia, anorexia. And I was learning. I know for myself, when I surrendered, I made a commitment to myself, my sponsor, and a higher power. I said, please help me. I'm going to die. So I could not give anything away. I didn't go there to serve other people. I was serving, getting the service for myself. And that didn't come later, because how could I serve other people when I'm into my disease and doing all those things? I'm dying. I was dying. So I needed that. I needed the service to get from other people before I could give it to others. And I'm so grateful. Like it says in the big book, when I'm spiritually fit, when the alcoholic is spiritually fit, he can go and work in the bar and he'll be protected and he'll be doing fine. And that's how I feel today. I remember going on a cruise after 4 months being abstinent, and I came home. I was 2 pounds. I had lost 2 pounds. So God started doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. It's a miracle how this program works, but I have to work it. I cannot just pray about it and God help me. God is giving me the power. He gave me the strength. He's given me the program, gives other people other people to help me and show me how they work the programs. And this is what I do. When I came to the program, all the holidays were coming up. My sponsor said, we only take this one day at a time, one meal at a time.
That's a reminder.
Thank you. It has taken me years and years. Thank you for letting me share that pass.
Thanks, Foster O from Massachusetts. And now we have Lisa H. followed by Roz G.
Good morning, Tina H. I'm grateful to hear you moderating this morning. Thanks for taking the meeting. This is Lisa H., gratefully recovered in Memphis, Tennessee this morning. And I am identifying in, right, with the experiences of before recovery. You know, I thought I was pretty spiritually fit, but I would go to the church and silent retreats and all of these things, Bible study, and literally all I was thinking about was, what were they going to have to eat? And that was consuming to me. But showing up in these rooms, I learned a different way, right? I learned the solution that I have an allergy of the body and of the obsession of things. And so, you know, that there's a piece in the big book that says, you know, if you need 30 days of hospitalization, do take it. You know, I remember saying to my husband, just for now, if it's okay, if we don't have these things in the house, just for now, you know. And I don't know, however long it took me to work through the steps and get recovered and working to live a God-centered life rather than a self-centered life. God gave me the neutrality, gave me that food neutrality. And then I could go anywhere. I could go anywhere safe and protected. And it is a beautiful way to live. And if you're new, hang in there, dig down, keep working it, because, you know, I'm here 10 years later. I have the same routine. I get up with my prayer and meditation. I listen to Vision for You. I'm retired now, so I'm listening later sometimes. But this is just a beautiful way to live, because God gave me the neutrality around the food. Now I'm safe and protected, and I can work on living a God-centered life instead of a self-centered one. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Lisa H. from Tennessee. And next we have Roz G. followed by Nancy P. Roz?
Okay, good morning, Tina, and thank you for your service. And this is Roz G., compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And this book, over and over and over, has taught me how to be a God-centered and other-centered person versus a self-centered person. Because the root of my disease is selfishness and self-centeredness. So, as with the other shares, with wherever I went, I was thinking about what I could get out of the occasion. What was the food? Or what am I going to get out of this? And after, you know, years of studying this book and working with others, I have learned and I am learning how to live a God-centered and self-centered life. So when I would, you know, I do a lot of church activities, and I used to attend ladies' retreats and Bible study in the morning, and I would have my breakfast, and then I would have whatever they were serving. So I'd have two breakfasts. I'd go to retreats and eat tons of food three times a day. And then one time they didn't have a dessert and I was angry. I was angry because they didn't have a dessert. I felt lost. And really just looking what I could get out of it. And today, just for an example, I'm the chair of the department of where I work. Of this teaching department that I work in, and I held a social yesterday for two people who are retiring, three people who are retiring, and two that are transferring, simply just to say thank you for what you've done. And, you know, it was inconvenient for me to plan that. And I also served in the children's ministry last night, the fourth through sixth grade, and they're pretty hyper kids, and you know, I don't need to do that, but you know, I've been asked, I'd say God has given me a talent for teaching, and for edifying, and for, you know, being goofy, a good goofy with kids. And I spent the evening, you know, teaching kids the rules, and teaching kids a few things about the scriptures that we were studying that night, and playing and being on a basketball court and watching them play and saying, good job, you know. And I was tired, but this one little girl looked at me last night. She goes, you're pretty. And I thought, oh, my gosh. You know, and I just think that what could I have done? I could have gone to bed. I could have stayed home. But I got out of that was being of service to God, maximum service to God and the people about me. Today, that's what my primary purpose is. So I'm looking for ways to be of service that versus what I can get out of it. All right. And to wrap up, to say, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that this book works. It works. When I'm more interested in other people, God does for me what I cannot do for myself. I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Roz G. from California. Next, we have Nancy P., followed by Robin P.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P. Recovered in Western Massachusetts. So this is an amazing paragraph. And, you know, I got to say that every day I put money in my spiritual bank. You know, I go to a meeting, I sponsor, I make outreach calls, I make sure I have the right food in the house, I, you know, I'm pleasant to my family, I'm cordial to my neighbors, I do the best that I can in all areas of my life. The only time that I take money out of my bank is when I go on vacation, when I don't have, you know, I'm not in the same time zone or whatever. And, you know, I have found that works for me. And, you know, there are two things that I rarely, if ever, do. I really don't ever bring my food with me anywhere, unless there's no food being served and everyone's bringing their food. So I don't really care, you know, what's served. I mean, I went to a retreat once, and they had horrible, disgusting powdered eggs and rotten pears to eat, and then they had pastry and all that stuff. Those are the only two things that I could have. So I had two scoops of disgusting eggs and two tiny little pears that were horrible. And you know what happened? Nothing. I lived. And, you know, I've done things like that a lot. But neither do I wing it, you know. My husband and I just booked another trip. We're going back to the UK, and this will be my third trip to Paris as well since I recovered. And I anticipate no problems because I'll do what I did before and I'll get what I got before. And, you know, I can't really make many phone calls. I don't have much privacy. We're always walking around. We're always going to places and doing things. And, you know, I don't care. I do everything. I go everywhere. I entertain. I travel. I bake. I cook. You know, I do all that stuff. And, you know, Bill's story, somebody else referenced Bill's story. I love page 15 on Bill's story. The first paragraph says, you know, he was moaning and complaining because he couldn't get any work, but he soon found that work with a newcomer set him on his feet again. And then the following paragraph talks about how he and his wife threw themselves into this work, and they found that it works even in rough going. And my opinion about that is it works especially in rough going. And, you know, to reference Fred, you know, Fred's plan was to use, to keep on guard and use his willpower. But the problem with Fred's plan is you never know when your willpower isn't going to work. Who knows? And so I do everything that I possibly can to stay in fit spiritual condition. And one of the things that I do, even though I hate Verizon, is I pay $10 a day so that I can make as many phone calls and get as many texts as I want in country and back into the United States as I want or need as a prophylactic. And, you know, I'm lucky enough that I have actual personal friends in the UK, and I have program friends in the UK. Hi, everybody from the UK, it's me. And, you know, so I can call those people and even arrange to meet them, which I have done on several occasions. So, you know, I don't let anything go to chance, but I also don't worry about food. And anybody can have all of that if you just do what the book says. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Next, we have Robin P., followed by Susan A.
Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks so much for your service and everyone else who makes this meeting possible. So grateful to be on the meeting this morning. I've been going back and forth between different meetings, vision meetings, so it's nice to be on the early meeting this morning. You know, I travel probably more than anyone I know in the rooms and in the program. And, you know, I've always been taken care of by God. And my motive, you know, to just be of service to God and my fellows. And we're here in Nashville and we decided to stay for the Country Music Association, the CMAs. And it's literally 5 days of nonstop, you know, partying and music and food everywhere. And I just get to stay spiritually connected to God, be of service to God and my fellows. I do a lot of service, thank God, and sponsoring and meetings, and it makes such a difference. And no matter what country I'm in, I always stay connected. I pay for the international plan so I can be on meetings and connected to people. And I've met people in the program all over the world. And it's such a gift from God. And yesterday, one of the famous songwriters here, we knew each other in program years ago. And I went to hear her play, and it was so nice to meet up with her again. And things like that, the magic of the rooms, no matter where I am. And I go to meetings whenever I can in person, and that's a joy too. And it's such a gift to just, to be able to participate. You know, I was such a low bottom bulimic and anorexic and compulsive overeater, and I don't even think about the food. I'm just there to participate and to see how I can be of service and also to enjoy wherever I am. And the music, I love the music here, and just the gifts that God gave me that don't have anything to do with food. And I also participate in my own recovery. So, you know, wherever we go, my husband's in another 12-step program, and he's very kind and helpful. And wherever we go, one of the first things we do is we go to a store where I know I can get food when I need. And we usually eat out one meal a day when we're traveling, and the other two meals I cook from home. And I always, if I go to a restaurant and they don't have what I need, we look at the menu when we get there. And if I go, I'm a gluten-free vegan, so that's always fun for restaurants. You know, more and more it's getting great. But, you know, wherever I am, I just go to the restaurant, I look at the menu, and I go, I can eat here. And if once in a while, once in a blue moon, there isn't something I can eat at a restaurant, they just don't have anything gluten-free or something, I just go, okay, let's just go to the next place. And we always find, God always takes good care of me as long as I participate in my own recovery. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Robin P. from Tennessee. And next we have Susan A., and then we'll have time probably for another share. Susan?
Good morning. My name is Susan A., and I'm from Lewis, Delaware, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I called into this line a little over a year ago and grabbed a sponsor and then another sponsor and worked these steps. You know, The only thing I have to change is everything. And that was told to me when I was in my 30s and I'm now 64. I never, ever, ever, ever believed that I could eat normally. I have been fighting this battle my whole life. You know, I was the one who had the piece of cake in the back of my refrigerator. No one else lived here and I was hiding it, you know, and I would try to eat a little bit. But my sponsor gave me, one of the really wonderful gifts she gave me was the hospitalization period. You know, and I went through a period where I didn't go out to eat or didn't go anywhere, you know, and I packed my food, failed to pack, planned to fail. You know, and I love the beginning of this meeting with the person who shared, who talked about making their bed, you know, getting up and doing my gratitude list and having a food plan and doing my prayer and meditation. And all of a sudden I had this loving God enter my life, you know. And I did bring my food in the beginning, you know. There was a period of time where I did pack my food and I had a couple friends who wouldn't go into restaurants with me because I was bringing like my vegetable with me, you know. But I have freedom today. I can go out to eat. I can go with friends. You know, I can go into a restaurant, and it's not even a thought today. You know, God has given me such a gift. You know, the other day I had this experience that I haven't had for quite a few months. My mind started to just take over. You know, it wasn't about the food. It was about the behaviors. It was about my mind. And the cool thing was, as I sit with seniors in the evening, so I had a woman that I had to go over and serve dinner to. And, you know, I make French toast and I do all these, you know, foods that I don't partake in. But just doing service for her when my mind was crazy, you know, spending the 3 hours with her, all of a sudden I was restored to complete sanity. And it was such, I'm like, I have baby shoes on here in this program. You know, I just have over a year abstinence. I was given this beautiful gift to see all of this crazy mind behavior. It was removed by doing service, you know. I love Nancy when she says surrender, surrender, surrender. I mean, that is my mantra. I go to bed at night, you know, something comes into my mind. I have God. I can give it to God. And that's all I have. I'm just so grateful for all the shares and to be on this line. Thank you all so much for the gifts you've given me. I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan A. Where were you calling from? I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Lewis, Delaware, the first town in the first state.
All right. Thanks so much, Susan A.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have time for about a two-minute share. Anybody like that?
Nancy C.
Nancy C., go for it.
Hey, good morning. Oh, it's so good to hear your voice, Tina. Thank you for leading the meeting. Good morning, visionaries. Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And boy, how grateful I am to hear these shares today and read this paragraph. You know, I'm sitting here going, when did that miracle happen for me? When did it happen for everyone? Going places like everyone has talked about that was so focused on food, I didn't care about anything else. There wasn't anything else. So I didn't have a good reason for going because all I wanted to do was eat. And then the ire in me as people would try to pull me away from the food, or I'd have to go hide to have the food, or we weren't going someplace where I needed to get a specific thing that I was having because I was on vacation. When did that change occur? When did the miracle happen for me and happen for other people? It happened by working the steps and happened by God's grace and design of saying, come to me, get away from the food. I just came from a weekend of a family wedding that is usually wrecked with havoc and whatever. And people told me, you know, be there for other people instead of yourself. And that's the mantra of this book. And I can't tell you what an amazing weekend I had and how much I learned about people that I haven't taken the time to learn about. It was a wonderful experience. And when I can put others before myself, amazing things happen. the miracle is there. If you are in the, if you're in process or you're not sure this will happen to you, I guarantee if you do what this book says, it will happen to you. And thanks, Tina. I am truly amazed today. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Nancy C. from Michigan. Okay, thank you everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, June the 5th, is 22,499. That's 22499. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. For Martha Z., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only through Keep You Until Then.
Thank you, Tina. Good morning, my friends in recovery. This is Martha C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.